at the Girls and Cast. It's girlsandcast.com. It's the website there. Those are very special. Also, very special co-host, Brian Hall. I just think that's the favorite. And of course, everyone knows it's Camp Town. And the biggest talent we've ever had on the show, of course, it's Brad Williams, everybody.
Puns, right off the bat.
Was he making fun of me, Brian?
I think he was making fun of both of us.
Oh, well, that's all right. He's allowed to make fun of one of us.
And I think he was kind of making fun of Brad Williams, too.
Well, welcome to...
I'm disappointed. I'm not angry.
Either way, who cares? Yeah, it's just fair. Ross. He's just going to be a weirdo. He'll do stand-up news later. It's the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. It's a really neat episode today. We get to welcome back Mr. Brad Williams in studio.
Yeah, great guest last time around. I'm sure he'll be equally great this time.
Legitimately one of our most downloaded and viewed episodes on YouTube.
Really?
Oh, yeah, about 28,000 views on his episode.
Wow.
So I'd say that's pretty good. People like Brad. I like Brad. You will, too. If you don't know anything about him, you're going to learn a lot today. And the text line is open. So if you are a Brad Williams fan and you have a question for him, you can text in 585-484-0265. That's the number. And if you are going to text in, can you do me a favor and please just put your name? Put your name. I don't have you in my phone, okay? I don't have caller ID with your name on it. Just put your name in there so we can attribute the question to you.
And we'll say it on the internet.
Yeah. And Brian will then know who to make the $5 check out to that he will be paying you from his personal checking account.
There is no monetary compensation.
It's a guarantee.
It is not.
From Brian Ball's personal checking account.
It is not. It is not. Unless only half of one person calls in, then I can't really afford it. So.
You're taking shots at Brad?
No, I'm taking shots at my bank account. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So we have some exciting things going on today. We're going to welcome Brad back, obviously. We're going to take your questions for him, and we're going to announce the winners of Showmageddon 2018.
Yeah.
Not Cam!
Ha-ha! Spoiler!
Spoiler! Cam.
All of you who say that he had an unfair advantage because he's on the show, guess what?
I love you, pal.
He lost.
Which place was I in?
Let's just not talk about that. We want to have a good.
Here's the deal.
Uplifting.
This is all positive here today. I'm going to thank you, Cam. That's why I wanted to see you. I wanted to see your face. I wanted to thank you for putting on a good show, buddy.
Thank you very much, Vinny. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You did a great job. I know you had a bit of a rocky road. A couple people bailed on this poor kid the day of the show. But I'm used to one of them bailing on us a lot.
I heard it was entertaining.
Yes.
I did not attend.
Cam Show Comedy Karaoke. Unfortunately, not the winner. I also want to thank everyone else that participated. Cam, I had to give you special thanks, and kind condolences on account of you're in the room. But the show that won put in a huge effort to fill the room.
100%.
A huge effort to put on a quality show that had a tangible theme that people seemed to get behind. Mm-hmm. They promoted the hell out of it. They came up with specialty drinks, but we didn't let them serve them because we wanted to make sure they weren't going to poison everyone like Jonestown style.
Which was not out of the realm.
I appreciated the effort and the thought that they put into their show and they're doing an extra good job. They were all over social media. They were putting out handbills and posters all over town. They did all of the things necessary to have a successful show. And they sold the most tickets. And everybody had a good time and got incredibly high scores on all of their ballot cards. So, Cam, would you do me a favor and hit it for me? The winner of Showmageddon 2018, a stand-up showcase showdown, is the good folks that hate this podcast. Congratulations to Todd Gerstlin and Craig Cosner. You guys, hell of a job. Well done. I also want to thank, again, Andrea Springer and Hillary Bluestein Lyons for doing a great job with their show, Let the Chips Fall. Good... adequate job to John Mungovan for his show, The Misfortunates. And Cam, you're a sweet, sweet boy, and we love you.
I want to apologize for John Mungovan because I kind of accidentally appeared on that show, so that's probably why they didn't do so great.
Trying to reach a different
demographic. Is there anything you can't make about you?
The Holocaust.
Yeah, I'll give you enough time. You come up with something.
Oh, you were alive during it.
I remember it.
Oh my God, we're killing it today. Okay, so another big announcement here at Comedy at the Carlson. You've been asking for us to have an open mic. You've been begging and pleading. When are we gonna have an open mic? When are we gonna have an open mic? I hear it all the time.
People
they ask
camp
me.
Out front and
they don't do that. I'm just talking about every time I go to an open mic anywhere in this town, everywhere I am, they go, when are we gonna do an open mic at Comedy at the Carlson? So here's the deal. Cam, show the people what we're doing.
What's the deal?
New comic night, baby. Hosted by me. One night only. That's right. One night only. Saturday, November 24th at 8. Well, we're going to do it at 9 p.m. We're going to change that time. We're going to push it back because we want people that are in the first show, we're going to invite them in to come and check out the show for free.
That's a good idea.
In the Rickles Room. So it's going to be in the Rickles Room. If you are funny and you think you want to come tell jokes here at Comedy at the Carlson and you want just an opportunity to get on stage, we got a mic now. It's one night. We're going to have details are on a Facebook event page. We're going to have it linked up on Comedy at the Carlson Cast on Facebook. You get all the information you're going to need right there. So we hope you take us up on it, bring some friends out, and we are going to have literally a slobber knocker, Brian.
I'm going to be there.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
It's new comic night, though.
I'm going to be, I'll be there in...
That's same old comic night.
Under my stage name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brian spelled right ball.
No, it's Julio Iglesias. It's my stage name.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about our sponsors real quick, and we're going to bring in Brad Williams. So let's talk about it. Cam Sapori, baby. Brian, Cafe and Catering in the Powers Building atrium.
I saw what you had there last week. I did not
know. It was the calamari over Caprese. You did pasta. Mm. Oh, my God. It was incredible. I lost my mind. But they are there for lunch. They can cater. Backyard barbecues, weddings, holiday dinners. Mm-hmm. Anything you need, all you have to do is visit SaporiRochester.com or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, at SaporiRochester. Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
That's not it.
It's fun to say, though, isn't it?
It is. Three Heads Brewing. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. The Two Kind IPA just won the New York State Craft Brewing's gold medal for IPAs.
Wow.
That's a big deal, so congratulations.
That is one of my favorites of theirs.
Oh, my God. It's a killer. I love it.
It'll get the job done in a hot minute, too.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. For little people like Ross...
Yeah.
You just a couple little drops on the tongue is all you need. It's Two Kind. Puts you right under.
The sight of Ross drinking something through an eyedropper just makes me laugh hysterically. Like
it goes right
bird,
to his head.
Like a baby bird.
All right. And last but not least, something else, Ross. I'm going to avoid you. I'm going to tell you to avoid this holiday season. But everybody else, Thanksgiving is coming up. Are you kidding me? If you're not going to have some iron smoke. Applewood smoked whiskey. I almost said bacon.
You wouldn't bring that
what
up.
What do you got on the brain right now? Think about bacon. It is early. It's early.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Applewood smoked whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's apple pie whiskey.
Delicious. In a bottle.
Also does the job.
Does the trick. We'll scratch you right where you itch.
That's the most disgusting way to promote an edible item I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's the good stuff, baby. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Or you can visit them in their tasting room right in the village of Fairport off of Paris Landing there. Thank you, Iron Smoke. Thank you, Three Heads. And thank you, Support. You guys are great sponsors, and we love you. We are going to... do a quick break, and we're going to remind you about some shows coming up here to Comedy at the Carlson. We added some new ones. We got some big announcements in here. Did we say last week on the show that Bob Saget is coming?
I don't think we did. Da-da.
Bob Saget's coming in February.
I think that was confirmed like as we were on air last.
Yeah, that was the big one that Market Bleeder would not tell us.
It was after he did the announcement on Facebook, I remember.
Yeah, because when Mark was in here a few weeks ago, I was like, can I say who it is? He's like, no, and he would have gotten mad at me. He would have been really pissed if I said, hey, Bob Saget's coming, and then the contract didn't go through. But the contract went through, so he's contractually obligated to be here. Take that, Saget. You got to come here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the contractually obligated Bob Saget.
Which we are contractually obligated to say.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. We got big shows coming up. Check out all the new ones on our schedule right now. This weekend, we have the amazing Mr. Brad Williams. Coming up November 15th through the 17th, Jimmy Schubert. Thanksgiving Eve Bash, November 21st with Dr. Dirty, one night only. Joe Lindley, November 21st will be in the Rickles Room. Robert Kelly will be visiting us November 23rd and 24th. Howie Hypnotized, one night only, November 28th. Carlos Mencia, November 29th through December 1st. Bobby Slayton, December 6th through the 9th. Josh Wolf, December 13th through the 15th. Rob Little, December 20th through the 22nd. April Macy, December 28th through 29th. New Year's Eve, Ross Bennett, December 31st. Two shows, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Chris Franjola, January 10th through the 12th. Preacher Lawson returns, January 17th through the 19th. Vicky A. Barbalak, January 24th through the 26th. How about this? Bob Saget, February 21st through the 23rd. Are you kidding me? And we're going to close it all out with Samuel J. Comroe, April 18th through the 20th. That's right, we got some big shows lined up from now through the beginning of next year. So make sure you check out CarlsonComedy.com or call 585-4COMEDY for more ticket information. We'll see you at a show. Hey, everybody, we are back, and joining us in studio, he's on his phone. It's Brad Williams, everybody.
I'm here. Sorry, I just got a tweet from someone who I love. So, Sal from Practical Jokers.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah, I'm talking with him.
Listen.
Yeah.
More important, be my guest.
Yes.
Brian and I will talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I am here. I am present. I'm with you guys. I love doing this show.
And I'm not even – listen, I love you. Having you back
we
here
love
is
having
great.
You.
Aw.
Because
let's talk more about
time.
Me.
Let's do it because I'm going to tell you something.
What's that?
I didn't think I'd see you again. I wasn't too sure.
Why? Did you think I was going to die? You think I was going to Hervé Villachez myself? No one gets that reference. No one got that reference.
They just made a movie about him.
Okay, so maybe they
on
did.
On HBO, and still no one got it. The reference.
Yeah.
Poor Hervé.
I will admit that I didn't get it.
Listen, man, I got to tell you, the reason I thought that was because I hate to be goofy. I thought you were just going to be too big for the show.
Oh.
I thought you were just going to blow up, man.
Oh, well, I mean, to make the obvious joke, I'm never going to be too big for anything. So it's fine. Comedy! I tell you, coming here and trying a little comedy. That's what we're going to do. All right. Already I've done a Hervé Villachez reference and a Marx Brothers reference. Oh, the kids love Brad Williams.
They love
know
it.
They know the references. You know,
what's,
God.
Show us your Monty Hall.
Oh, God. I do that one, too.
Brad, what's in your purse?
Yeah.
So Brad, The Degenerates is awesome.
Yeah, thank you,
the
man.
The Degenerates is freaking fantastic. For those
I love
of you who don't know about it, Brad has a half-hour new special on a series called The Degenerates. All blue-collar comedy.
Yeah.
All very blue comedy.
Yeah.
Dark.
And that's what I love. I love that that's – because sometimes you get guys that will go on The Tonight Show. They'll do an amazing set, a great – 5 to 7 minute clean set, people see them and go, oh, well, that's lovely. Let's go see them in the club. And then it's nothing but shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. And they're like, this was not on Fallon. And you're like, yeah, because they have rules. So I love that it's out there that it's – and I don't even think my comedy is that dirty. But then when you – but then now in this PC world, you have to throw up that disclaimer. And what I'm telling people, and they go, should I watch your show? And I'm like, have you ever written a strongly worded letter? They go, yes. I'm like, don't watch it. Don't. If you've ever written a strongly worded letter
to the homeowners association,
if you've ever complained that someone's hedges were 2 inches too tall, or if you've written more than 5 Yelp reviews, don't watch it.
That's beautiful.
Don't watch it. You're not gonna like it. And now we're living in such an amazing time. Where, I mean, it's bad for news, but for entertainment, it's great. Where you can get the entertainment that's good for you. Now you don't have to listen to the music that the radio station tells you is good. Now you don't have to watch the comedian that the industry tells you is good. And as we're talking off air, you don't have to watch the wrestler that they're trying to shove down everyone's throats. Like, this is the new good guy. No, you can watch and listen and do whatever you want to do, and that's wonderful. You can have and entertainment that speaks to you. And so, yeah, but if you like making those dirty jokes, if you have that friend at work where you kind of have to sneak off to the corner and say all the things that you can't say during the meeting, that's who should watch The Degenerates. You guys will love it. You know,
all day long.
And it's great comics. So some people are writing me like, doesn't it suck that you're on with like other comedians and it's not your own special? I'm like, no. When it's other comics. Oh my god! I loved Big J Oakerson. Big J Oakerson's Degenerates was awesome. I mean, obviously Joey Diaz, Christina P, Liza Traeger, Yamanika Sanders. I've worked with Yamanika 4 times before, and she's so funny and dirty and raunchy, and I love her. It's just awesome to be associated with that, with those kind of comics.
You have to. I think it's neat. Because it's one of those things where I thought was dead.
1970s man.
I thought it was dead. I thought what you were doing was dead.
It's neato.
It's nifty.
It's the bee's knees. It's hey. Cat's pajamas.
Hey, stop throwing sand in my eyes there, pal.
It's neat. That's
why is everybody always joshing
because
on me?
Because that's like what your grandmother tells you when you got a gold star in first grade. Well, that's neat.
You want to know something funny? Yesterday?
He never got a gold star in fifth grade.
Yeah.
They gave me the senior discount yesterday.
How old are you?
36.
Well, I mean, but you're a larger man, so.
But like, I say things like neat, so.
Yeah, and they probably look at you like, well, he's not going to live past 62. So, like, 38's the senior
well,
discount.
Well, he did go in and ask for a cup of Joe and a fry cake, so they probably missed.
They miss. They misguess his age. Do you guys serve sarsaparilla? I'm busting your balls.
It's fine. See,
can I get a cup of Joe and a fry cake, please?
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm gonna go home, listen to the radio.
16 cents, I say.
The wireless.
See.
How cheap are old people that they get so upset going around all over the place?
The thing I love about it is, like, now we're in such a PC culture where, like, no one's allowed to make fun of anyone. And I always say the same thing. Who do you make fun of the most? Your friends.
All day.
So yeah. let's make fun of everyone, because that's who you make. You make fun of your friends. And when you fuck with your friends, it's fine. Like, you guys know that you get along and you know, that's the only reason why I'm fucking with you is because you're a comic and I like you. And so, yeah. And I know you can take it. You're not going to be one of these people that you say one joke to and then you're sulking in the corner for an hour and a half calling your therapist.
You know, he'll do that after the show.
Yeah.
You know how you can tell it's 2018? Because Brad just had to explain that after all I did was say neat, and he teased me about just talking like an old person.
Minutes.
The nicest, like, most toothless humor we just did. And he's like, so listen, everybody, let's just take this down a notch.
This is why we're okay. We're in a safe space right now. There's Ric Flair action figures on the wall. We're okay. This is a safe space for people.
Okay, so we're going to talk about The Degenerates, and then we're going to talk about something else in a second.
Sure.
But I didn't think that a show like The Degenerates was necessarily going to happen. I love that Netflix did it. When you look at what's being put out there right now, not everything feels like The Degenerates does. So it was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it's something where a lot of people are trying to fit a certain mold, and I was talking with the manager of the club here at the Carlson, and Rich Voss has this great quote. When people get mad at comedy shows, and he goes, "Do you just show up to a music show and go, I hope it's jazz?" Like, no, you do a little research so you know what to expect. Like, and it takes 2 seconds now to do research on the comedian, where you can just literally you can type their name in Netflix, you can type their name in the Google, you can follow their Instagram, you can watch a couple clips and go, yes, is this for me? Is this not for me? And if you're offended by some of the things I say, that's absolutely fine. You are allowed to be. Go see another comic. Go see Brian Regan. And that's not to say Brian Regan's not a genius. He's a goddamn genius. He's better than all of us. Yeah. And that's why I'm going to say go see him, because he's the best.
Sure.
So, yeah, like, there's other comics that'll be out there that you will like and appreciate. But if you like someone that doesn't have that filter on, that doesn't think, ooh, should I talk about this? Because how's it going to affect my career? Then come see my show or go watch The Degenerates on Netflix. Because, Joey Diaz, the line where I'm like, all right, Joey, like, you're never going to get a network sitcom, but fuck it. This was the funniest line when he goes, listen, I'm no Harvey Weinstein, but I'm no half a fag neither.
That's Joey Diaz all day long.
He's my favorite person to follow on social media stuff, because he just tweets or posts whatever the goddamn
thing. You go, cocksuckers.
Yeah, it's Monday. Wash your balls and get out there, motherfuckers. And you're like, oh, it's amazing. Okay.
It's truly amazing.
It's like, screw Tony Robbins.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. That's all you need.
You need Joey Diaz.
Yes, yeah. It's awesome. And one thing I like about the Netflix thing is that because I have two specials that were on Showtime, and people would be like, oh, how do I see your special on Showtime? I go, all right, well, you missed the airing, so you gotta. Are you subscribed to Showtime? No. Fuck. Okay. You gotta get subscribed to Showtime. You gotta get on the app. Like, when people are like, oh, how do I see your special? Like, go to your Netflix. Type in Brad Williams. Mm-hmm. Done.
Watch it's amazing it what distribution
right
does.
Right now on your phone, you
well,
can
not,
watch
not
it.
Right now. Finish
yeah.
listening to this first.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
go.
Exactly.
Go. All right. Now I want to talk to you about something really important, the
important
stuff.
Yeah.
You just got back from the Chris Jericho cruise.
I did. It was amazing.
You were smiling from ear to ear about it.
It's the best. I fanboyed out so much. I had Chris Jericho, whose birthday is today.
Oh,
happy birthday,
he's 48
Chris.
Years old.
No way.
He's 48. He's doing Lion Salts at age 48.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Think about what your dad was doing at 48, and now watch Chris Jericho do a fucking Lion Salt. It's awesome.
Yeah, you're right. My dad was a pussy. I didn't realize it till just now.
Yeah, well,
everyone,
all the other dads do it.
Yeah, he had this great cruise where he had comedians, he had heavy metal bands, he had wrestlers. He put a wrestling ring in the middle of a boat, and he had all these fantastic wrestlers who went for it. They were not doing like matches where you're like, okay, let's save our bodies. They're like, nah, let's go, let's do it.
I can't imagine trying to do wrestling on a boat. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't seem like a safe thing.
Standing on the top rope on a moving ship.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like the best idea.
It wasn't.
It was a terrible idea.
But it was amazing. I loved it every second of it. And then he had legends on the boat. Like, I had a conversation with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Whoa,
like, how awesome. Like, when did you think that was ever going to happen? One of the greatest moments ever in my career happened where I was doing a live podcast. I think it was Conan's Keeping It 100 podcast, and JR was a guest. Okay?
Oh wow!
So there's six people on as a guest, and someone brings up from the audience someone. Yells out, Brad, tell the John Stamos story. And for those of you who don't know, it's a story where John Stamos is afraid of little people. He has something called achondroplastophobia,
yep. Right.
Where he is legitimately scared of little people. And Bob Saget knows this, and Bob Saget knows me. So Saget organized a meeting to where I ran in to see John Stamos, and he was not expecting it. And I just grabbed Stamos' leg and started humping and freaked him the fuck out. Okay, he was scared. So I told that story about humping Stamos's leg, and someone yelled out, "Hump Christopher Daniels's leg." He's a wrestler,
right?
And I go, "I will hump his leg under one condition: that JR commentates it."
Oh my God! All right, he's getting up there, Kane. He's gonna get up there by his leg, and that little fella, look at him. He's just climbing up on top of that rope there.
It was the best. I start humping his leg, and through the microphone, I hear JR going, "He's going at him like a rabid squirrel."
He's halfway up his knee now.
My God, that leg is broken in half. Someone stop the damn humping.
It's finished. It's finished.
It's over. It's so great. It's so awesome.
Can you, like, can you just not like imitate JR all freaking day long?
How much would you pay? People talk about, like, I want Morgan Freeman to narrate my life. I want Jim Ross to just follow me around, especially when I'm having sex with my wife. Just, by God, she is broken in half. Like, that would be
he's stomping a mud hole, folks. Yeah.
One of our good friends does the best JR, and we would drive to gigs together, and we would just make him do it the entire drive.
It's amazing.
And if you just pull random things that he says, they make no sense, but if you scream them, they're hysterical. Our favorite of all time, JR
like
line.
Mm-hmm. JR, I don't like it. I tell you, he's trying to do this. I don't like it. I want to go to a restaurant with JR, and they bring him like the fish, and it's not cooked correctly. He's like, I don't like it.
Our favorite is that when he was the Undertaker, was beating somebody up, and he just goes, "My God, his hands are taped."
The Taker's hands are taped. The Taker's hands are taped.
Like, but he sells it so well.
Why does that
he
matter?
He says it with such passion, where you start watching, going, "Yeah, his hands are taped."
There might be something to this wrestling.
No remorse.
You're right. This is
some
bullshit.
That man's got a family, damn it.
He gets so indignant.
It's so great.
He's a heartless bastard.
He would be, if they did JR's divorce court where he was the judge, how much would you watch that?
Now what here is this Xbox thing you're talking about? Now what? Now how does this thing work here, y'all?
just like saying sayings from Oklahoma that make no sense whatsoever. Like, you can ride a mule, but they can't always run. Everyone knows that. You're like,
no one knows that.
What does that mean? What is
no
that?
One knows that.
I don't Sir, know I feel that. Like your case is three shirts short of a wardrobe. All right,
your barbecue sauce has plenty of hickory, but no spice.
Now I'll tell you what here.
What does that mean, JR?
Before I rule, I'd like to take a minute and talk about my beautiful beef jerky I make here in back. And my JR spices. He's the best. I talked to him at StarCast. I was up at StarCast and I ran into him. I ended up talking to him twice, and I've been trying to convince him to come to town. I don't think it's going well.
Well, I saw him on the boat.
It's definitely not going to go well after he watches this.
I saw him on the boat, and then he had a drink in his hand. And I go, "Hey, JR, what are you drinking?" Because I was going to buy him another one. And he goes, "I'm enjoying a damn good mojito."
That's a goddamn refreshing mojito.
And just him saying mojito. He could say that word. Like there's some words where he could just say the word. Like, if he just walked around and went, "Mojito," I'd be like, "Fuck, that's funny." Like,
Subaru.
Like, I have a, yeah, like, my manager is a guy named Barry Katz who actually has a podcast. It's called Industry Standard. And just, listen to it if you want. You don't have to listen to it. But just know that what I'm about to do is a perfect impression. "All right, so my manager, Barry Katz, talks like this. This is exactly how he talks.
I find his voice soothing.
It's it's unbelievable. And every time I see my manager, I always make him say one name. Just saying this name always makes me laugh.
All right.
Because he says it in this accent. I go, "Barry, say Ray Don Chong." And he just goes, "Ray Dong Chong." And it just makes me laugh every time. There's no logical reason. I can't describe it. Like, I'm around some of the funniest comedians on the planet a lot. You know, you go to the Comedy Store parking lot and you see people that can sell out arenas, you know, and just we're all making each other laugh. Few things are funnier than me than just my manager going, "Ray Dong Chong, man." Like, it's just the best.
I'm subscribing to this podcast immediately.
JR has one of those voices where if he said something, like if you said, "Hey, JR, what are you watching right now?" He'd be like, "Flex tape commercial." Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would just be awesome.
God damn it, that boat's still floating. All they did is they put that flex tape on the bottom over there.
He's an amazing human being.
By God, the boat is taped.
The boat is taped, my God. The boat is taped.
The roof is taped. No water's getting in. It's trying. No water's getting in.
It's relentlessly pounding on the roof.
I think this has gotten out of hand.
All right, hold on. So, can I plug something real quick? I want to throw something in. Tomorrow, did I hear the rumor correctly that you're coming to the Dalton Castle show tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, very cool.
Well, because he was also on the Jericho Cruise, and he did something on the Jericho Cruise. I hope he talks about this.
Let's talk about it.
His current gimmick is the Hangman. Peacock.
That's Adam Page.
Oh, that's Adam Page. What's Dalton's gimmick?
He's
right
the
now?
Peacock.
Oh, okay. Because he brought back this old gimmick that he hadn't done in a while. He announced that he had a concussion and he couldn't wrestle, but they had a replacement wrestler, and it was just this old gimmick where he came out as Smooth Sailing somebody.
Oh, I know what gimmick it was. It was a rich kid, right?
Yeah, and he just comes out like this island guy, and he's all happy and stuff. It was the funniest thing. I had so much fun on this Jericho Cruise. One of the best parts about it was because we went to the Bahamas, and if you have any insecurities about yourself in any way, shape, or form, do not go on a cruise, because when you get to whatever place that you're landing, don't go off the boat, because whatever locals are there, especially in the Bahamas, they will take any insecurity that you have, and that's what they're yelling at you to try to get your attention. So, I got off the boat. And
if I give them my money, maybe they'll like me.
Yeah, and I got off the boat, and you just heard these guys hey, short man! Short man, come get in my cab, short man! You're are you expecting this to work? Are you expecting to be I made fun of my height, let's go talk to him. You know, it was and then behind me there was a really overweight guy. They're hey, big guy, big massive guy, don't worry, my cab reinforced. You're the guy's crying.
I have all room you need.
Yeah. To be fair though, I like knowing there's that kind of security in a cab when I get in it.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
It's not. Yeah, the side's not going to be dragging along.
Exactly.
Nothing but
SUV. You know what's going on in those places. No.
It was so much fun.
So they're just yelling at terrible things. Hey, big nose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was ridiculous. It was the funniest thing. Just
hey, you, acne scars. You need a ride.
Hey, proactive solution.
I have a solution to how do you get to the next town.
Give me money. I take you wherever you need to go. Can they hear him laughing? It's the best.
He's the best.
It's the best. There's this person I don't see. I don't see every now and then.
Disembodied voice.
Yeah, I know when a joke hits because just from in the other room you hear, that's it. It's fantastic.
God damn it! That sounds like a great time.
It was, man. It was a lot of comics will talk smack about cruise ship comics. If that's what it is to be a cruise ship comic, sign me up. I'll do it all day.
I have to ask. I'm a huge Chris Jericho fan, so I just have to ask.
Yeah.
What does he smell like?
Oh,
ew.
He smells like sweat and maple syrup.
That sounds about right. It does sound about right.
You know, and you just find out that Canadians are better. It's just because he's an Adonis of a human being. You know, he looks amazing. And you think you could be a dick and it'd be okay because you're Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And he's just the nicest guy. He's just 9,000 jobs. And then you talk to his wife and kids that were on the boat, and they I expected them to hate him because he's always gone or whatever, and they're like, no, they're on the side of the stage jumping to the Fozzy concert, they're having a great time. I'm like, God, this looks like the life, man.
Were the wrestlers having a good time?
Yeah,
The ones who weren't wrestling, just the ones hanging out, the legends and all that stuff. Yeah. They having a good time.
They were having a damn good time. So you're gonna love this story. As a mark, one of the people that was supposed to be on the boat, everyone made it. Except for Disco Inferno.
Glenn.
Now, here's why. He didn't have a passport. That's why he didn't get on the boat.
Oops.
He knew about this boat for a year and a half. Year and a half he was booked on this cruise. He didn't get a passport. And it's not just a passport because my buddy who went with me on the boat, he doesn't have a passport. But he just got a copy of his birth certificate or some sort of real ID. And then you're good. He didn't get he didn't get any of these things. None of them. He had a year and a half to get them. Never got any of them.
Well, you know, he's really busy with his other gigs.
Right, because he's on WWE television all the time.
Yeah, he didn't have time to didn't have time to go get it.
Man,
between opening Waffle Houses,
between his shift as a greeter at Walmart.
Did you happen to see my best friend Raven?
Yeah, Raven's doing comedy now.
I know, he's my buddy.
Yeah,
I love
here,
Raven.
He was here a little while ago.
Oh, man.
That's my pal. I love that guy.
I mean, it's not good, but that's what's good about it.
And see, he has his own way about him, I think.
Yes.
Just in general. He is exactly that all the time.
He passed out kazoos to
yes,
the audience.
Does. Yes, mm-hmm.
And then, so, he does a one-liner, and then you just hear, like, you just hear the whole audience do a kazoo noise. It was funny, man. It was, like... It was engaging. It was really cool. And I'm a huge ECW fan, so to meet Raven and you just go, oh yeah, you're exactly like it's crazy when you meet people who have a quote unquote character and you're like, wow, how did they come up with that character? And then you meet them, you're like,
he woke up.
That's you.
Yeah,
it's like, him all day long.
That's just you. You walked out. You talked to Ric Flair off, you know, camera or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. It's amazing that these people are just, they are these natural characters.
Show my screen, Cam.
They just kind of turn the volume.
That is me playing drums, doing rim
shots
for Raven.
Yeah.
He couldn't afford me for the cruise.
No.
So.
Well, he got some other comedian to do it.
Oh, did he have somebody do rim shots?
Yeah. The opener for Craig Gass did it.
You've been replaced, Vin.
What a bastard. What a bastard.
It was great. It was funny. It was a great time, man. It's just, it's this thing where, that's one of the coolest parts about having a little bit of success in this business is you get to do these awesome things. You get to meet your heroes. I got Rey Mysterio Jr. was on the cruise.
Yeah.
So I got to talk to him, which, by the way, now I'm even more impressed because he looks small on TV. Dude is like...
But you two are like eyeballing each other.
Dude is like 4 inches taller than me. So
it's
like,
that far off.
So like every excuse I've ever had, like, well, I can never be a professional wrestler because look at me. No, I could have.
Yeah.
He just tried way harder than me.
Yeah.
You know, he's amazing. He's unbelievable. And you see the kind of stuff that he's able to do even now that he's in his 40s and he's still a high flyer. It's amazing. It's
he looks great.
Yeah. He's jacked. I tell you, I'm glad that I live in a world where I can take HGH and it's not illegal. You know, like
sure.
they're not testing comedians for shit. Like, oh sure, yeah, do Showtime specials.
Don't even put that idea in anybody's
head. No one would be mad
don't
at you for trying human growth hormone, Brad. No one would be mad at you.
They'd file a lawsuit against whoever sold it.
The worst thing that could happen to me is I take HGH. It works too well. I grow to 5'8" and I'm like, fuck! I'm gonna rewrite my whole act now. It's gone.
Oh, God damn it.
God damn it, he used to be half a man.
Mysterio!
Mysterio?
He's a whole man!
He's a whole man now. He's all man.
Man, stop humping his leg. It ain't funny anymore. Get off of him. That's your soul.
Yeah. If I'm 5'8", I can't hump legs anymore. That's just sexual assault. You know what I mean? Like, a dwarf does it, it's adorable.
It may have been a little bit of sexual assault before, too.
You know, I mean, I didn't have to take my dick out, but it did. You know, it made it funnier.
Man, that little weasel's just hanging out there. So, let's talk about something else that's interesting.
That's
some
a dwarf
things.
Dick. That's not a weasel. That's a chipmunk.
Look at that little chipmunk sticking his little head out of that hole.
My dick's a chipmunk.
Is that an acorn in his mouth?
No, that's just a tip. He's not circumcised. I can do this all day.
I'd say it looks like a baby's arm, but...
That's insulting to the baby.
You got married.
I did get married. It's amazing. You listen to this podcast, you're like, well, no woman would ever love him.
I know. Like, it's amazing.
I got married. I've been married a little over a year now to a lovely tall woman. That's right. I said tall. Ha!
Comparatively? Or?
You didn't say it with hate. None of us are offended.
No, it's 5'7", man. She's 5'7". She's, like, legit tall. Like, she could adjust the shower head and everything.
No broom handle.
That's a problem for me. I go to a hotel room, the shower's facing the wall. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be dirty this week.
Oh, no.
I'm not solving it. I'm not going to stack things. No. But...
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what would you stack in the hotel room.
That's exactly what I was
throw the microwave in there.
All the Bibles.
All the Bibles. Stack all the Bibles. I've done things, man. No, the most embarrassing phone call I've ever made was down to the front desk telling them to come adjust the shower head for me. Oh, it hurt. So I don't want to do that anymore. So that's the only reason why I got married, just so all the shower heads can finally point down.
I think that's marvelous. How big of a change was it for you, though?
It's pretty great because I'm on the road so much that before I would have a girlfriend and then I'd be on the road. And then while I was on the road, they would get a new boyfriend that was home. You know what I mean? There. Like, I'd be gone for 2 weeks, come back. This is Larry. Fuck. You know, like.
Hi, Larry.
He lives here now. I get it. You're around. Now I come home. My wife's there. I don't have to start. I don't have to start it new. You know, it's great. I come home. The house is clean. I got eggs on the table. It's awesome, man. I'm a little over a year in, so it's not I'm not 20 years in, you know. But at the same time, I'm having a great time with marriage. I like it. That and it, especially with the Me Too stuff, I'm just like, I'm out. Yeah.
Breathing free, baby.
I made it. Now if I send a dick pic, it's just hilarious. You know what I mean?
You have a safe place to send it to.
Yeah, exactly. Where she's not, she like, now if I send my wife a dick pic, she's gonna be like, oh, Brad, and then she's gonna show her friends, look what he just sent me. It's not gonna be anything like crazy. I love it. I love being married, love my wife, and I'm a fan, man. Now we're and literally just this week we married people get this. We pulled the goalie, so you know we're gonna.
No shit.
Yeah, we're gonna start trying. It's interesting, man, because we were like, well, like, are you ready to be a dad? Like, do you want a kid? I go, yeah, I want a kid. They're like, well, you want a tall kid or a dwarf kid? I'm like, I don't know. There's pros and cons of both of them.
I know what my dad said.
Yeah. That's the funniest thing you've ever said. Man. That was great.
All right. Well, I'll take credit.
My dad said, yeah. Oh, God, that's funny. You know, because there's a 75% chance it's going to be a tall kid and 25% chance it's going to be a dwarf. So it's interesting to think, like, well, what, like... Like, if I have a tall kid, that's kind of cool, because at the baby shower, I could be like, oh, you got them Jordans? One for dad. You know what I mean? That's mine. Well, then if I have a dwarf kid, that's, like, I'm scared about that, because, how do I say this? My head was about the same size when I was born as it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you don't want
to. I've got a hot Asian wife, man. I don't want to wreck that shit.
But you know what, man?
You don't want any damage being done.
No.
Let me throw an angle out at you here, because I think, obviously, you are very qualified to be the father of a dwarf child. Because you did it.
Yeah.
You're, like, at the top.
Yeah.
Like, you are the everything that he could aspire to be to.
Yeah. You just call him King of the Dwarves?
No, well, that's Dinklage.
That's Dinklage. Let's be honest. He's going to get mad now because someone else called me the king. He is King Dwarf, but I'm a lovely ambassador. You know,
you're
prince.
At least a prince, yeah.
Prince say. Dwarf. If something happens to the king, I'm next in line. You know what I mean?
Do you think your life would have been better as a child, like, had your father have been a dwarf? I mean, you guys would never have been able to fix the shower.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Nothing would have gotten repaired in the house.
Right?
Jesus, my dad was a handyman. He did stuff. So, it was great. And I would be that kind of person that could raise a dwarf child in terms of, like, hey, this is what you can do.
Yeah.
These are what your actual limits are, not theoretical limits that people that don't have dwarfism don't know about. Yeah. So I'm excited, man. The only thing I'm really not excited about is because there are certain rooms in the house that the kid wouldn't be allowed to go into. So my wife is like, well, we're going to have to buy some baby gates. And I go, yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Those are just gates.
Yeah, those are just gates for me. Like, oh, yeah, you better hand me one of those high jump poles.
Are they going
to
give you
the pole vault over the baby gates?
You got to get ones that are actually like a gate at the front of the house, like with a little button you can push.
So what's your gate code? Oh, for the one outside? No, for the one in my bedroom. I want to be able to get in. Wife's like, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Gate.
I can't get into the... I'm guessing, what room can the baby not go into? I'm guessing the sex dungeon.
Yeah,
the
sex dungeon or the man cave. Yeah. Right. It looks a lot like this. I'm getting a lot of ideas. I'm just getting all the damn action figures. You want... All right. This is going to be... I'm going to reveal some nerd stuff right now.
Let's go.
Like some real nerd stuff. Like I'm looking around. I see all the action figures.
Uh-huh.
I found my old G.I. Joes.
Uh-huh.
I love that noise you just made. That was pure joy.
Mom sold all mine.
I found mine, and then I spent
little ones or the big ones?
Little ones.
Nice.
Or as I call them, the standard G.I. ones.
Joes. Sure.
Such a stupid joke, but I love it every time. You know, it's like whenever I go play miniature golf, it's like, or as my people call it, golf.
Golf.
So the little G.I. Joes, and I spent like a month and a half, and I restored all of them. Painted them, bought new parts, ordered really fucking small screws and screwdrivers, and just like got them all looking pristine now. And now I want to like put them somewhere. So I'm probably going to put them up in the man cave or something.
That's really cool.
But that's
actually
so nerdy. It's so nerdy.
It's fine.
I'd give my left nut to have all my G.I. Joes back.
Well, bring in the G.I. Joes and bring in the scissors.
I was a spoiled brat, so I had like multiples of almost everything.
Oh.
And then my mom just sold everything in a yard sale.
Isn't it amazing now that you look back and now like all those people that you made fun of for being hoarders are like, damn it, I kind of wish I was a hoarder.
Yep.
and
mothers are what
away.
Made that market, because there's a million people like you who are wistful for their own toys. Yep. And they're just like,
yeah, I had two of the Cobra Rattler planes.
Oh, there you go.
And then some fat guy who looks like me is like, oh, I'll sell you that one for $25.
Yeah.
And
you're
like,
yeah. Oh, I looked them up. What would these be worth? And I mean, they wouldn't be worth like life changing money, but you know, some.
Yeah.
A good chunk of change. Now the thing that everyone's hoarding are those the Funko dolls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
No, not at all.
You
refuse. I have one.
You're anti Funko.
I have one.
Okay. I've got a few. I've got
the only
almost
one I own right there.
I've got a bunch of the Dragon Ball
Deadpool
ones.
Bob Ross. Only one.
Oh, Deadpool Bob Ross is fun.
And that was a gift from my buddy Chuck at All Heroes Comics down in Charlotte. I'll give him a plug. He just thought I would like it.
Yeah, like Conan O'Brien goes to Comic-Con every year, and every year he releases a Conoco Funko doll.
Yeah.
It's like limited edition, only available at Comic-Con. I played in Conan's Celebrity Golf Tournament. That's another story. I got one of the Funko dolls, and I looked like, oh, let's look what it is online. It's like $300.
Wow.
Wow.
For a Funko doll.
For a Conan one.
For a Conan Funko doll. It's like Conan.
You can't
Superman.
Even get that much for a commercial on a show on TBS. It's $300.
Yeah.
I love them, though, so much.
Unfortunately,
but the dolls.
True.
But the dolls.
Exactly. That's how you can make your money. It's weird. It's weird what's gonna still be around. And now that everything's going digital, it's tough to have like those actual tactile things that you could own and you could that that's like something.
There's
like
a whole
figure.
Generation that are never gonna read liner notes.
Wow. Liner notes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember like on the back of G.I. Joe's, they had like the bios.
Oh, yeah.
Them?
Oh, hell yeah.
Crazy legs and all that. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
You're supposed to cut them out and put them in some type of filing cabinet that was the size of like a recipe, like a recipe card.
You're like, oh, really? Now I got to do office work? I can't just play with the damn G.I. Joe?
Storm Shadows just said unknown on it a lot. I remember it just said unknown for a bunch of stuff.
This is going on your permanent record, Dusty.
Yeah,
I find it.
Oh, he's from parts unknown. It's like, yeah, just ask him. He's fine.
And his tongue's cut out. Then we just give him a piece of paper and a pen.
Help
out Snake Eyes, somebody, would you please?
Yeah, exactly. That's fun, man.
G.I. Joe's world.
Were you an only child?
No. I had a tall sister who hated me.
But are you the
hold
last,
on.
Are you the what? Last of your name?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking because you're having a kid. So like,
I
that's
feel
a,
like that's how I have to introduce myself. I am Brad Williams, last of my name.
But I'm asking because you have a kid coming, and everybody says, oh, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. I wanted a boy, so that pressure was off of me.
So there's one more to pass. So
there's one
on.
More to pass it on. I didn't want to be the last one.
I don't
one.
Care. I don't care about passing on the name or whatever. It's fine. Do you know who you're? The details about your great great grandfather? No.
He probably does. Don't ask him. You don't care.
But no.
Well, like it's one of those things where
he was a mule wrestler.
now it's kind of crazy because
neat.
Like you're like when like I just saw a childhood photo of my grandmother, and it was really cool to see. It was really like you saw her brothers and sisters and her mom and everything like that. It was really cool. My great grandmother.
Sure.
And it was really kind of a cool moment. Now could you imagine our great grandchildren just going on Instagram and seeing what kind of delinquent that you were? You know what I mean?
This is me. Ford beers deep.
Yeah. They were like, well, it's like you had grandma in a photo studio. Like that was nine days prepping for that one family portrait. And then your grandkids are going to be able to look at you and be like, all right, here's Grandpa Brad on Taco Tuesday. Just getting obliterated.
It's Weeds Day.
Yeah, he's doing the worm on the bar. Okay, there you go. That's who my granddad was. Oh, it's going to be horrible.
You said your sister hated you?
Yeah, my sister hated me. What's that about? Well, because A, I was the baby of the family. B, I was the dwarf baby of the family. So everyone was just, like, she was known wherever she went as Brad's sister because I was the popular one and she was the nerd. I mean, we have a great relationship now. Fantastic.
That's good.
She's got two wonderful children who I love. And, when we were growing up, oh. Like, I got to college. We both went to USC.
Right.
And when I got to college, people knew me way more than they knew her. So, like, people thought I was the older sibling.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer for her. Like, I went to her... there was this big frat party, and I went to the party, and she was there, and like everyone was like Brad's here, and like no one gave a fuck about her. It was funny. It was just one of those things. But yeah,
so she like rightfully should have hated you.
Oh
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not blaming her.
All right.
She absolutely should have hated me.
It was justified.
Absolutely.
All right. Fair enough. Just curious.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why you wanted to be a sports announcer.
I did. I wanted to be Jim Ross.
Why don't you do that now? Why don't you become a wrestling commentator? You know, there's like, we were saying this earlier before the cameras went on. There's like 9
yeah.
billion different little.
There might be a discussion.
I can think of some I'd like you to replace.
There might be a discussion.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, because now it's like you get to, like I said, you get a certain level of success in this business, and now you get to accomplish dreams. You get to meet people. I have my own podcast called the About Last Night podcast, and you can just like look, like you can tweet at certain celebrities now, and if they're not busy, they'll do your podcast. It's
amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we have Tiffany Amber Thiessen coming on the podcast.
Ooh.
Soon. And Kelly from Saved by the Bell.
Is she fat or thin this week?
I don't know.
Bite your tongue. You don't talk about Tat like that. Okay. Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman, but her weight fluctuates greatly.
Who cares? She's Kelly Kapowski.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm with Brad
definitely.
Williams,
yeah.
And you
oh,
shut your
she's
mouth.
She's my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah,
poor thing.
Like we've had
or Winnie Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you just got to talk mathematics. And.
She told me goodnight on Twitter once, and I almost passed out.
Dude. See, that's amazing.
It was like usually if you were in person, I would have. That good night would have accompanied a drink being thrown in your face.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
It would have been filled with a sir. Good night,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. Or the freaking bouncer walks over to
yeah.
you. Good night, sir.
Yeah.
Right. Just escorts you out of the club. But, yeah, now we've gotten to a point now where, like, if you are a huge fan of someone and you have no idea how to get in contact with them, just wait. Wait. They'll get to a point where they're not working so much. They're not as popular. And you'll be able to send them a tweet and probably talk to them a little bit.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
just
amazing.
Just wait. Send them a tweet. They'll like it. They'll write you back. Don't fanboy out and show up at their front lawn John Cusack style from Say Anything. But just wait. Send them a message.
That's why Tiffany Amber Thiessen won't do this podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She hasn't quite gotten there yet.
She'll hear that last clip. Oh, she's fat or thin this week. She's amazing. Shut your mouth about the goddess.
It's real
you.
Easy to get Jose Canseco to tell you to go fuck yourself. It's
that
super
is true.
Easy.
He's done it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
He's got Jose Canseco pissed at him.
It's super easy. Just make a reference to him beating up his wife.
I shouldn't laugh at trolling, but it's funny. I hate it. I'll read some stuff, and you know, because now that The Degenerates is out on Netflix,
yeah.
I've gotten lots of amazing, wonderful things that people have said. And yeah, there's a few haters out there that are saying things. I laugh at them. I think they're funny. Because I'm just like, who has the time?
If it's well crafted, yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Oh, there's been some good jokes, and I respect that. And I'm not gonna be this person that if you write like a horrible thing, I'm not gonna like retweet. This person's a monster. Go get him, fans. Like, no, I don't.
You a blocker?
Yeah, I'll just block you. I'll just block you and move on. It's you know what I mean. It takes no effort to block someone. Just you don't like me? Block. Fine.
My favorite social media feature is on YouTube. You can hide someone's comments. So you no longer see their comments, but they don't know they're blocked.
Yeah.
So they're just shouting into the ether.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I love it. It just makes me so happy.
Tiffany! Tiffany!
Why aren't you responding to me?
I got a good one yesterday because Yamanika Sanders is on The Degenerates, and someone wrote me, because I guess at some point in my special I say the N-word. I don't say the N-word. I say the N-word in reference to it. And someone wrote me and was like, dude, you can say it. You can say it. Yamanika said it. You can say it. I'm like,
no, I can't. No.
You first. You know, like, no, I don't think I can say it. They're like, no, you could say it. I'm like, ask Roseanne if she still has a show. And she didn't even say it. She side referenced some stuff, and she doesn't have a show because of that. I'm just, no, I'm not gonna say it. Now, I'm never the guy to censor any speech. Say whatever you want to say. When comics are like, you can't talk about certain things anymore. No, you can. You absolutely can. You are free to joke about anything you want, but it has to be funny. And yeah. Some jokes,
amen.
Some jokes are really hard to make.
And you got to be willing to take the consequences.
Absolutely.
You got to be willing to take the hit.
You have the freedom to say whatever you want. That is absolutely true. People have the freedom to respond however they want. So, yes, you can joke about certain things that are absolutely horrific. But just know those are a little harder jokes to make. So if it doesn't go well for you, if I joke about airline food and the joke doesn't go well, really nothing at risk.
Yeah, yeah,
sure. But if you joke about airline food.
Yeah. If I joke about being raped by airline food,
there it is.
Then there's something that I might get some blowback for. And I understand those consequences.
Sure, sure. Sure, I was going to make a tasteless joke.
I can't let you make
a tasteless joke, but then that's just airline food.
And see, you clean jokes too. Clean jokes work too, people. Clean jokes work too.
No, some of my favorite jokes are clean jokes. Some of my favorite jokes are dad jokes. What's brown and sticky? A stick. Come on, guy. Like, it's just like they're stupid jokes, but they're funny to me.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't believe in highbrow humor or lowbrow humor. Like, Carlin talked about it, how like Carlin has some of the most influential, amazing, insightful, just like, how the fuck did you write that, like nuances and language. And then he has what in my opinion is the greatest fart joke ever, which is, how do you know when a moth farts? It's the only time it flies straight. Hilarious. It's a hilarious fart joke, and the greatest comic ever made it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
there's no like highbrow humor, lowbrow humor. It's just humor. It's just what's funny. That's it.
Well, I like to hear that. You know, I feel that sometimes the folks who are a fan of keeping comedy really, really clean, don't just tune out that nuance to it. Like the second a joke feels like it might go somewhere, they don't give it that chance to let you be nuanced.
Yes, yeah. And there's some insanely intelligent dick jokes out there, like really smart, where you like you say, you think it's going one way, it goes the other. It's awesome. I love hearing jokes like that. I love when I see
a lot of dicks like that too.
Yeah,
you think it's going one
like
way
that.
And it goes the other
way. Got that vein in it, solid. It's hard to make dirty jokes funny, because like you have to worry about, because like, I've seen comics just go on stage and say fuck just to say fuck. Like,
right.
Like, it doesn't have a purpose, or they're being shocking.
Like a comma.
Yeah. or you know, like, they're saying shocking things just to be shocking, and there's no purpose in it. They don't have a point of view. Like, Dave Attell is the best dick jokes ever. And they're so funny.
Very much so.
He has the best, like, the funniest comeback to a heckle I've ever heard came from Dave Attell, where he did some joke about sluts, and of course, a slut got offended. And
some slut got offended.
I love that. The comic's on stage going, "Don't you just hate sluts?" And then some woman's like, "Hey!" And you're like, "Okay, thanks for announcing you're a slut. Now we know who to talk to after the show. Hey." And like some woman yelled out, like, "Fuck you, Dave!" And Dave just responded, "All I heard was come, come, gurgle, gurgle, and the sound of a father crying."
Oh, Dave.
So funny.
He's brilliant.
He's the best. He's a genius. And like so
that's such a pro move too, because like she's not gonna say another word after that.
It's like, oh, so if I talk now I'm making my father cry. Okay. And then she's thinking about her father, who knowing her she hasn't seen in 25 years. So it's very sad for her. Yeah. It's the best. Dave's a fucking master, man.
He really is. Mm. So like, why do you think people are not willing to give jokes the benefit to go all the way through? Like, if they start hearing something they don't like, why do you think people tune it out?
Well, because now we're living in such a world where it's great and bad. It's great that you can tailor entertainment for you and find the things that truly make you happy. And there's no more like dark enclaves of people. Like, it's everything's out in the open. You can find the group. That's fantastic, but at the same time, now people are so used to their entertainment being tailored for them that when someone says something that they don't agree with in any way, shape, or form, now it's like, wait, that's not supposed to happen. I want to be entertained. You weren't supposed to say anything that I disagree with. And it's also this thing where there's a society now where people want to be in with the in crowd. They want to be cool. And right now, unfortunately, it's cool to get mad. It's cool to get outraged at things. It's cool to be offended. So now if you're not offended by something, you search for something that you can be offended by. So now you can be part of this club that is mad and outraged and demanding change.
When will society just realize it's cool to paint G.I. Joes? When will we learn it's just cool to paint G.I. Joes?
Paint G.I. Joes and tell dick jokes. It's fun.
It's really strange, because the most powerful thing you can do to someone who says something that you don't agree with is not pay attention to them. Because comics will tell you, the worst thing that an audience can do is ignore you. Like, I've had people yell at me on stage. Okay, now we're engaged. Now I can fight back. Now I can turn the audience against you. The worst set I ever had was at the Ontario Improv in Ontario, California. And it was an urban night, let's say. And I was young in my career, and I thought that I needed to black my act up to appeal to the audience. Oh,
this
was
already
I wrong.
Making me cringe.
Oh, yeah. Was I wrong. Oh, I was dead wrong. And this audience did the worst thing you could ever do to a comedian. They just ignored me. They just they turned, started having conversations at their tables. So I didn't even exist. I'm up there, like, trying to get them back, and it just failed miserably.
I've found that
nothing.
Urban crowds are just crowds. It's
they're just audiences, exactly. Yeah. And they respect you more. I'm a white kid from Orange County. Be a white kid from Orange County.
I'll make some joke to acknowledge this is different.
Yeah,
and then go on.
And that's it.
Fine.
I learned that night. And comedy is a really interesting form where you have to bomb in order to get better. Like, that's when you learn. Yeah. Like, that's when I learned, like, oh, don't think that I have to change everything about my set to be someone I'm not so certain people will like me. No, just be who I am and have the and be your authentic self, and and the audience will respect that. And but like comedy, you have to fail in order to figure that out. You have to put yourself out there. It's funny. I get all these messages now, especially now that the Netflix special is out, where I'll get messages from people like, "How do I be a comic? How do I do it?" I go, "Just start being a comic." They're like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Go on stage."
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, how do I get material?" I don't know. Write it. Figure it out. Have five stories that you tell at parties, and I know you have those go-to stories that you tell at parties that are always your go-tos. Like, all right, I'm going to tell this story about the time I stole a car in high school because this is always funny. Just tell that on stage. Like, and then figure it out. You're going to bomb. Like, people want tips and they want that match. It's the same thing when, like, people lose weight and then and someone comes up to someone and goes, hey, how'd you lose the weight? You know how they lost the weight. But
you're hoping to hear magic.
Yeah.
Magic. Please be magic.
I took this one pill. I kept eating hot fudge sundaes.
I have a secret bottle of unicorn sperm. And
yeah,
I just got
and
rid
I
of
just
it
drank it, and I'm good. No, you know how to lose weight.
Sure.
You know how to do it. Exercise, diet, put down the donut. Okay? And I'm saying that as someone who could probably lose a couple pounds and chooses not to. Why? I really like red velvet cake. Okay?
Oh, it's the best.
Delicious. I keep eating it. All right? But I know if I stopped eating it, I would lose some weight. So it's the same thing with, like, we've had directors on our podcast and things like that. You're like, how do you become a director? You want to know how they start directing.
Making stuff.
They start making shit.
You get a camera and you start figuring out angles and...
You have a camera on your phone now. It's not, you don't have to go out and buy the RCA RPG that sat on your shoulder like a cannon, just like filming stuff.
And with that giant menacing red button on the side of it. Yeah.
I wasn't recording. No. Yeah, you don't have that now. You have it all on your phone. It's the easiest thing to do. So if you want to be a director, start directing movies. Put them up online. If you want to be a writer, start writing. If you want to be a comedian, just start telling jokes. Go on. There's open mic nights all over every city. Figure it out. Go on stage. Well, how do I get to sell out comedy clubs? I don't know. I'm 15 years in, and I don't.
How do you?
Yeah. every comic's just waiting for that thing that'll make them, you know, go viral or be an overnight success. But you have to have a lot of overnight successes. Like, yeah. I had a bit. Go viral about urinals, and that went viral. And then I had a bit go viral about snow, and then I did This Is Not Happening, which got like 3 million views. And then, but I have to do all these things. Like, you can't just have one and then be like, cool, I'm famous now.
Yeah,
right. Good. No, you gotta keep grinding and keep knocking it out.
You have to keep getting famous over and over and over again.
Yeah, I'm 15 years in, and it's taken 15 years to be an overnight success. When I got that call from Netflix, I was like, fuck, yes, finally. But now I know I can't just rest on one half-hour Netflix special. Now I got to go write the new hour and then put that out and then be in a TV show and be in a movie and be keep doing my podcast and have that.
You got any TV movies coming up?
I'm literally, as I get home, I film a TV show for ABC.
Okay, so this will probably be the last time we see you then.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Here's the thing. And here's what every comic needs to know is there's the way up, and then there's the way down. There you will always go down in some way, shape, or form. Dice Clay was selling out Madison Square Garden, and now he's selling out comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Still great. But it's not Madison Square Garden. So, and that's not to say he's not funny. He's hilarious. But you just keep grinding because you know those lows are going to come. There's going to be a time when you're not quite as popular. But then you just keep grinding so you're safe.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Brad Williams before 15 years from now, you have literally four more chances.
That's right. You can get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY.
We're selling out real quick.
Actually, people are really excited about you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a fun thing, and for the people that saw the Netflix special that are like, oh, it's just going to be the same. Brand new hour.
We don't think you're an amateur. We know you're doing a brand new hour.
Goddamn professional, son. So,
amen.
That and like things keep happening in my life to where it's like, all right, I got to write about that. Okay, I got to write about that. Oh fuck, I got to write about that. So now I've gotten to the point where when something happens in my life, I'm not. Like even if it's sad, I'm not sad about it. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm gonna get a brand new 10 minutes about this.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's the mind of a comedian.
It's like the tricky part is to turn that part of the brain off when you're
while it's happening. Amen.
Like, cause I'll literally be writing jokes as the dramatic trauma is going down.
Oh yeah.
And I have to not do it in front of other people that are still going through the trauma and still experiencing.
And see, it's great though, because in your head, the really funny stuff starts flying into your mind, and you're like, "Well, if I say it right now, that'll make it true when I say it later."
Yeah. This is funny because it's true. Oh shit, you're not ready for jokes yet. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
too soon. Yeah,
made that mistake a couple times.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite things about my wife is she did something really dumb once, and she goes, "I know this is going to be. I know this is going to be a bit." Just please don't make it about me. And I was like, okay, fine.
And that's the beautiful part is you can make it about somebody else.
Yeah, there's she no saw rules. It coming. Yeah, we lie.
Yeah, we lie a lot. Yeah. people are like, did that really happen?
No,
it didn't happen. But something like it happened, and then in my head I thought, you know what would be funnier?
Yeah.
If this had happened.
Yeah.
And that's how jokes are written.
Yep. At show business, folks.
Showbiz.
Crazy make 'em ups.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, The Degenerates was incredible. I loved it. It had me in the first 5 seconds. And
yeah. That's just the dwarf walked out on stage. You're like, I'm in!
Before that. And I'll give the producers credit. Shout out to little Vinny, fun fact. I'm a massive Drive-By Truckers fan.
Oh!
And that song right out of the gate, I was like, that's where the devil don't stay.
Yeah.
And I was so happy.
I immediately downloaded that song right after, because I hadn't heard that song before. And then I heard it on The Degenerates, and I was like, ooh, I like that.
They are legit one of my favorite bands. Not going to go down the crazy music thing. But the worst thing that my beautiful wife ever did to me, the worst thing she ever did to me.
Sorry.
Did.
Pegging.
Involved.
Pegging. That's the worst thing she ever did, yeah.
Involved Patterson Hood, the lead writer, guitar player for that band.
Really?
Because I'm such a huge fan.
Yeah.
We were out and we ran into him. We were at a show and there he was. And it was like, holy shit, hey, Patterson Hood, how are you?
Yeah.
He's from Alabama.
Okay.
She's from Alabama.
Okay.
They start talking about little towns that they know in Alabama.
Alabama.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
And I'm just standing there going, why does she get to talk to my hero? And I'm getting all mad. And so, not mad, but like, we take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
He walks away, and my wife looks at me, Brad, and goes, he just grabbed my ass.
You're like, oh, shit.
And I was like,
ah, shit. But I don't want
to. Like, I was starting to lose my mind, and then she started laughing openly in my face.
Oh, she
made it up just to get in my head. How bad is that?
You have a wonderful wife.
It really was.
So much. I had not minus the grab of the ass part.
Yeah.
The same thing happened when I met Bill Burr, and Bill is like, he's the top. He's the peak. Why am I blurry? Okay, now I'm okay.
Yeah.
He's the peak. You can't. I have so much love and so much respect for him. So we're at a show, and I've met him in passing, but never like in the green room. Like, we have to talk,
yeah,
or else it's just gonna be silence. And I don't know what to say to him. I don't.
You never
know what
had
to
him
say.
Cornered before.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm losing my mind. And then my wife is next to me. My wife is really into cars. Loves cars. Can repair cars. She starts talking to Bill because she heard that Bill is restoring a truck. And like they're going back and forth about cars. And I'm sitting back like, I want to play. I want, like, and she's just,
cars are cool, guys.
Yeah, do you guys ever play with Matchbox ones? I like ones with the big engine that go vroom vroom. Like,
did you say they're neat?
Yeah. And afterward, Bill comes up to me and goes, "Oh man, your wife's pretty fucking cool." And I'm just like, "Yeah, she is. Okay, can we talk about something? Do you have any interest in old restored G.I. Joe action figures?"
I have a drawer full, and I paint them all myself. Would you like to see pictures?
Yeah, I'm like, oh god, you don't care. But they had a great conversation, and then he grabbed her ass. No.
God. See, you got me too. That's how gullible I am.
Y'all.
So four shows this weekend with Brad. Come see him. Cam is emceeing tonight. And I'm going to be emceeing tomorrow, and Todd Youngman's going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be hanging out with you tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah, it should be a good time.
Cool,
so get your tickets now. Come see us. Brad Williams, you are a treasure, sir.
I'm a treasure, and that wasn't a pot of gold reference.
Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he grabbed her ass. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. All I know is I'm unhappy about either situation.
It was a neat little reference.
It was a neat little reference.
This is a neat podcast. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's neat.
Thank you very much.
We're going to put that on our website. It's neat.
Brad Williams.
Brad Williams.
It's a real swell time. About last night podcast, I will be listening to the Tiffany Amber Thiessen episode. Please tell her hello for me. Send her my love.
Thanks for a humdinger of a good time, man.
I hope you you dick. I hope you had fun. We're going to be back in just a minute with Ross Johnson and Stand Up
After
News.
We get some mojitos.
After we get a few mojitos and this little squirrel son of a bitch climbs off down this man's leg.
That's real cane sugar, damn it.
Now you got to muddle that there. You got to muddle them bit leaves in there at the bottom there. That's how you do that, son. Sassafras. All right. We're going to be back after a few short words. All right, you can follow us on social media. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right. We are back when stand-up news breaks. Ross Johnson is nowhere around. It'll probably just do the stories he chose to do anyway.
He'll find it on the internet a couple days later.
Yep.
You'll get it next week.
Good morning, Ross.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
I have some sad news today.
Lay it on me.
I have some sad news. There has not been a lot going on in Cat Williams land, so I just want
to. Damn it!
I'm gonna lay that out.
You have right one front. Job, Ross.
Yeah, in case dig anybody deeper. Wants to.
It's like he escaped into the food emporium all over again.
You have one job.
I need to get into an entrapment situation. I need to start luring.
Need to get his number and just text him something to set him off.
Yeah, I was really digging for Cat Williams news this week, and he's had a quiet week.
He told her he was going to stop smoking crack.
For once,
he's a man of his word.
Yep.
Cat Williams, if he's anything, man of his word.
Absolutely.
All right, what do we got this week, Ross?
Okay, so Lisa Lampanelli, you guys
we're
like
familiar.
Her?
Familiar? Yes.
Like yeah.
Her? She's cool, right? She is. She announced last.
She's
week
looking
on
more and more like a colorful Rich Voss.
She's the new, she's a new member of L7.
I kind of want to be her.
She's great.
When I'm, however old she is. She
some questions have no answers, son.
She announced last week on the Howard Stern Show that she is retiring. She said she's been planning it for a couple years. When she was taking care of her ailing father a couple years ago, she decided that she wanted to move on and do something a little less insult comic-y. She said she wasn't disparaging her thing or anything, but she was sort of saying like, I'm kind of bored with the negativity and I want to move on and do something a little
more
positive.
She's heard enough people.
She's heard enough people.
So that's interesting. That's interesting. She'll end up back on stage.
Yeah, it seems like that's the kind of...
No comic leaves the stage.
Yeah, does anybody ever? Like, is that... I mean, unless they
Steve Martin tried. He's back.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, everybody comes back.
Yeah, Martin so Short. I mean, and she's... I don't. Like I said, we don't know how old she is, but she's... I feel like she's young enough that what's she going to do?
I think she's in her 50s.
I mean, unless you physically can't, I guarantee you she's going to end up back on stage.
Yeah.
She's too good not to.
Right.
But it's cool that she wants to take a break and do something different. I think that a lot of comedians like just want to do different things sometimes. Artistic people tend to do that. So
I
want good on you, Lisa.
I want to do something different every Friday morning.
I encourage it. I encourage creativity around here, Brian.
It's always weird, and maybe it's for dramatic purposes, but people always say they're going to retire. You know, like musicians are always retiring, and like Cher's retired 8 times.
I question their definition of retirement, not only because they keep coming back, but also because when she says, "I'm just going to go do something else," that's not really retiring.
Right.
Yeah.
But either way.
Hopefully, I'm sure we'll see her around. I said sad news about Cat Williams. Got some other sad news for the ladies and unsolicited masturbation fans. Louis C.K. is off the market. He did a 70-minute show in Paris. This has been his first like big official announced, not sneaking up on people show.
He looks contrite there.
Paris is a good choice. They're pretty free thinking.
They
over
seem
there.
Pretty forgiving, I guess. Yeah. From the
they're just like. He asked.
Yeah, from what I was reading, apparently everybody was like, you know, thrilled to see him. So he also announced on stage, he took this opportunity to announce that he is dating 41-year-old French actress and stand-up Blanche Gardin. She had a Netflix special called I Talk to Myself, which I have not seen or heard of, but I'm sure it was delightful.
There's a lot of French comedy on Netflix these days.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how long this has been going on, but I guess she sort of got some notoriety in the past for standing up for Louis C.K. and wearing like Louis C.K. buttons and things. So I don't know if this is a prison romance. I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. Is it like a prison romance? Right. Like those like girls are obsessed with the serial killers? Right.
Sort of deal.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. And
she's just like, just ask me, Louis. Just ask me. Come on, Louis.
And you're Louis C.K. Yes. You're like, all right.
May I?
Like, just sweet.
I don't know. If you're into Louis C.K., are you into asking first?
No.
Is that like, that's was probably his, not your thing.
That was his thing, wasn't yeah. it?
Anyway, so Louis C.K., he's off the market for the time being, ladies, but...
Congratulations, gals.
Keep wandering into...
Congratulations, gals. You're...
Keep whatever. Wandering into back rooms at comedy clubs, and you never know what might happen.
Oh, man.
You're having a hard time with that photo there, man.
I'm having a hard time with everything. I messed up the bit.
No.
Aw.
No.
All right, there we go. It's my fault.
So, not exactly stand-up news, but general comedy sort of news. Alec Baldwin, of course.
Our pal.
Our good friend.
Was arrested and charged with assault and harassment on Friday. Oh, that's true. I forgot you guys yeah. know Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, we did a little bit of show with Alec.
Yeah, yeah. So he was...
A very nice man.
Smells
sometimes
amazing.
Didn't punch any of us just in the face.
Just like Drakkar Noir all over the place. Just
no. Drakkar everywhere.
He has people
that come in and mist it for him and throw down rose petals.
It's Bulgari Aqua and really expensive scotch is what he smells
wow.
like.
Wow, all right.
Yeah.
How close did you get?
Very.
Brian almost stole his coat.
We did a scene. Yeah. We did a scene.
It smelled so good.
We even did like a scene with him. It was fun. Yeah.
So he was, of course, I think people have heard this. He was arrested and charged with assault and harassment on Friday, a week ago, following a dispute over a parking spot, according to the New York City police. He denies the charges, but there is a person in the hospital with a broken jaw. That's in stable condition.
Still got a swing on him.
So, that happened. The follow-up is his talk show is not, there was talk that he was going to be, in trouble. As far as TV appearances and things
like
that.
Here's the thing.
They're not taking a show off the air. They are moving it from Saturday to Sunday nights. I guess the ratings have been really terrible, so that might have happened anyway. And Saturday Night Live says...
If the ratings aren't good, just
what did SNL say? I was wondering about that.
SNL says no... SNL says basically they don't care. It's fine. Yeah. He can keep doing Trump as long as he wants.
You know, if I wouldn't deny those charges. If I was a man of his age and I busted somebody's jaw in one shot, I'd be telling everybody about it.
You are a man of his age.
I'm not a man of his
Lauren's
age.
You think Lauren's like, okay, Alec, you can keep your spot, Alec. Okay,
just,
Alec.
Just don't
please,
hurt me.
Just please don't strike me, Alec.
How did he say it?
I don't do well with violence.
It sounds like Dr. Evil.
So that's Dr. Evil, actually.
That's Dr. Lorne Evil Michaels. Is Lorne
Michaels. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Never mind.
I know I'm right, damn it.
please less with the punchy. If you
no
could,
more
please.
punchy. Just punch up the jokes, not Lorne.
Oh,
okay. What else we got?
Finally, this will bring it back home to the Carlson. Bob Saget, of course, who we all know and love from
Everywhere You Look.
He's coming back.
Was
He's
that going... now? I'm confused. Was that Seinfeld or Full House?
It works for either one. It's fine.
Right. Okay.
Just as your Lorne Michaels and Dr. Evil are identical, my Full House and.
Right.
Right. What exactly were you trying to do there, Ross?
So of course he's coming to the Carlson, which we're very excited about in February. He's also got a new TV show, which is going to be on ABC, starting in 2019. It's going to be on a late night spot because it's basically they're billing it as America's Funniest Home Videos, but like the stuff that's too dirty for America's Funniest Home Videos.
So Tosh.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's still going to be on ABC though, so it's still going to be on network. So I don't
know
how.
So it's just over the pants hand jobs?
Basically. Yeah, it's just dry. It's a lot of dry. It's just all videos of dry.
Oh, look, she's over there trying to grab his sweatpants. She can't quite get him off.
Drawstring is tied.
We're a problem today. It's a
lot
all right.
A lot of dry humping. But, So that's it. Look,
like, oh, look at him go, everybody!
If you're an America's Funniest Home Videos fan, but felt like there wasn't enough over the pants action, this could be the show for you. Or you could just come by the Carlson in February and check him out. So that's it. That's the news. That's all I got.
Oh, God, what a morning. Thank you to Brad Williams. Make sure you come and see him this weekend. Get your tickets 585 for comedy or call or visit carlsoncomedy.com. And make sure if you're watching the show, rate and review. We really, really appreciate you doing that. It means the world to us. And thank you. Good job, Cam. Adequate as usual.
Thank you.
Ross Johnson. Mwah. Oui. Yes, I love it. Brian Ball, get lost. See you next time, folks.